The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
I'm delighted to say now we're joined by Paula Feeney, dog behaviour expert at White Dog Canine Coaching. Paula, how are you today?
Good, Tom. Thanks so much for having me back.
Very kind of you to join us. What exactly is it you do?
So I look mostly at dog training and behaviour problems in dogs. So I do everything from puppy classes right up to aggression cases and everything in between.
A lot of kind of when somebody has a problem dog type stuff, is it?
Exactly. And what we're trying to do is encourage people to be more proactive in reaching out to a trainer. In the UK, it's quite ahead. If you have a dog or you get a new puppy, you call a trainer to set good habits in place. Whereas here, it's still a little bit behind in the sense that people wait until there's really problems and they're ingrained in the dog. And it's much harder to fix at that point than if you see it in the earlier stages.
Okay. We have already loads of questions coming in for you, I'm delighted to say. Because dog, we absolutely love our dogs in this country, don't we? I think we're a bit ahead of the curve with this. They occupy a special place in our hearts, don't they?
Sure, absolutely. And even since COVID, they're far more popular. Everybody has a dog now, and they're just really becoming part of people's families.
And a big responsibility.
Exactly. People forget that sometimes too. You're making a commitment for hopefully the next 15 or more years. And every time you go on holidays, you have to think who's going to mind them, and there's vet bills and all those little things. So it's not to be taken lightly when you're adding a dog to your house.
Now, I have an actual question. I'm very happy to say Aoife, our producer, was kind of facilitating me in this, because we have an 11-year-old Cocker Spaniel who's the love of the house. And my daughters now are 16 and 18. When we got him, they were 5 and 7, and he was the family pup, and we adore him, and he's, I say, very special. But I had promised them we would at some point get a second dog. We've done that, and we've now gone and got a 4-month-old Cocker Spaniel.
Congratulations.
Have I made a mistake?
I don't think so. And what's really important at this point is that you do things right. And sometimes I think we take for granted, especially when we had one dog, that it's going to be really simple to add a second dog. But there's a few more things to be considered. And you have to take the older dog into consideration here, that they're a little bit older and maybe not as tolerant as they once were. Maybe there's a little bit of arthritis going on or hearing issues. So you have to take all of that into consideration. And just not allow your older dog to be constantly in the space or in the presence of the puppy, or to be constantly annoyed by the puppy, that they should have their own space, have their own time, access to the resources they need without being bothered by a little excited puppy all the time.
Okay, a very, very excited puppy, you have to say. So make space and time for the older dog. That's the first thing. Okay.
And I would manage the puppy hugely. So when it comes to puppies, we talk about management all the time.
Yeah.
So giving... maybe having a pen area where the puppy is, that it can have all its toys and run around and act a lunatic, so your older dog still has access to the house the way it had and it doesn't need to worry about where it's going.
Okay.
But also when you have a puppy in something like a puppy pen, it means they're not chewing skirting boards, they're not peeing in the next room. Puppies should always, you should start with a smaller area for them.
Right.
And then as they get older and they learn not to do all of these bad habits, that's when you extend the space, because generally people bring them home and do the opposite. They have free rein, and then they say, okay, the puppy's not going upstairs because it's peeing upstairs. Now it's not going in the living room because it's chewing the couch. So it should be the opposite.
Okay, so a small area to start with. And in terms of training, because I have to say I've forgotten now how we train the other guy. When do you kind of start that? He doesn't know anything. He doesn't know ah means stop. He doesn't know his name.
Sure.
He just looks at you when you say his name. So you're starting at this ground zero with him, really.
Yes.
Is there a certain, does he have to be a certain age before you can even start that?
No, so you can start training as early as possible. And if you look at even the likes of guide dog puppies or police dog puppies, they start training at 3-4 weeks when just their eyes and ears are just open. They start very little things. So you can start training straight away. What I would do is look at the two most things that are important right now, which are the socialization and the obedience. So the socialization, you will never get this time back between 0 to 16 or 0 to 20 weeks is a really vital window for the puppy. When it comes to socialization, just remember that socialization is not about meeting a whole pile of people and meeting a whole pile of dogs. It's about being around those things and not necessarily interacting with them at all.
Okay.
So when they see a dog or they see a person, it's not a big deal. It's not scary. It's not intimidating. Bring them to all these noisy and different places. Expose the puppy to as much as you can at this point as possible. And give a separate time and space away from the older dog, because you don't want your puppy getting hyper attached to an older dog.
Okay. Right, so we need to separate them. Thank you very much for that, Paula. I have to give you some of the questions coming into from our listeners now.
Nice.
This one, I have an 8-year-old Scotty girl. She's absolutely loved and adored by the whole family. But every time any of us get home, she runs and hides under the dining room table and peeks at us until she's ready to come out. We've tried not to pay too much attention to this, but actually it's quite upsetting.
That's a funny one. And this could be brought on by a couple of different things. So maybe there was a single learning event that frightened the dog when you were coming home. So it could have been somebody dropped something coming in the door, or there was a bang, maybe you came in with a stranger or something, that there was a single learning event from the dog. And then it almost becomes habit, where the dog just thinks, you know, this is what I do every time a person comes in. So what I would do is maybe look that if there's not something causing the issue that the dog is afraid of or intimidated by. But then I would also encourage the dog, when you come in, condition the dog that every time you come in, something good happens. So maybe you keep a bag of treats in the car, and every time you walk in, you can have a few treats in the hallway that encourages the dog to come out to you rather than retreating and hiding.
Okay, and they'll make that association quickly, will they?
It depends on the dog. Sometimes you have what's called a single learning event if something has been particularly exciting or particularly traumatizing.
Yeah.
But generally, if you have a smart dog, a handful of times, 3, 4, or 5
sure.
times, they start to understand, okay, X behavior leads to this consequence, which means either it's a bad thing or a good thing.
Okay, great. Another one for you now. I've just got 2 dog pups from the same litter. One is very outgoing, loves petting, etc. The other is nervous and shy. The more mm-hmm. outgoing one prevents the other one from getting attention by pushing mm-hmm. against him and lightly touching my hand while I'm petting. They are 8 weeks old. What can I do to train the more outgoing one not to be jealous? I have them mm-hmm. together in the same kennel. I don't think there are problems when they are alone. How can I socialise? And a lot of questions for you there, Paula.
Again, similarly to what I said to you about the older and the younger dog, but this is so important. So I never recommend getting puppies, 2 puppies from the same litter. But if I'm at the point there when I'm chatting to someone that has already done that, the more time apart, your walks are separate, your training is separate, because you need to treat them as 2 individual dogs. Because if you're always training or walking them together, they will become hyper-independent on each other. They will have more conflict over resources when they're together. So really building confidence separately is the biggest thing for these puppies.
Okay. This one is near and dear to my heart, I have to say. Tom, what's the best way to help a grieving pet? Our dog mm-hmm. lost her partner in February and is distraught.
Sure, this is really difficult, and I've experienced this myself. Lots of empathy, time, but I would also encourage the dog to get out and do those things that it enjoys. Yes, if the dog is sad, it may not want to go on a walk, but if you can encourage them, you know they like going on a walk, bring them to their favourite places. It's about having empathy, but also just encouraging the dog, let's do these things that you love. And it's very, very difficult, because at least with a person, you can chat to them. Whereas with a dog, it's just not the same. If you feel like it's affecting your dog's, let's say, day-to-day life, and it's really hard to get them back into the swing of things, you can look at kind of a natural calming thing. I'm not talking about medication here, but something that maybe
right.
contains L-tryptophan that will help with serotonin production.
Okay.
Just to kind of give the dog a little boost.
Okay, great stuff. Paula, we've so many questions, but I'm afraid we're beaten by the clock. Thank you very much for joining us today. That's Paula Feeney, dog behaviour expert from the White Dog Canine Coaching.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.